Here tonight. I want to welcome everyone here tonight to a special night. It's our Wednesday night service at 7:30. My name is Pastor Tim. We have Wednesday night services right now. It's one time every month. It's the second Wednesday of each month. And this is July 11th, and this is our July 11th service. So I just want to welcome you, those that are listening on the Glory to the Nations website. We welcome you. I just wanted to get into a topic tonight that came up this week. I had the privileges of going to a viewing funeral today, and not knowing that the lady that was that had passed away was my wife's grandmother, very, very dear woman. The nice thing about it is she was not religious. Her family did not raise her in religion. She had no idea of religion. And that's, sometimes people might think that's a strange thing in this day and age with all the different religions that are out there. But she was not tainted by religion. In fact, I don't even know if she really had even stepped foot in a church until probably, I think her son got married, and then eventually, like, Allie and I got married as well. So with that being said, I had the privileges to actually speak at her viewing today. It was a really nice ceremony. However, up until the point before I spoke, nobody spoke about God. It was basically just speaking about the life of Anita, how she loved her family, and she was very selfless and very caring and had a lot of peace and a lot of joy. She enjoyed the little things in life. She wasn't a woman who had a lot as far as material things, which is a good thing. So she just enjoyed life in itself, and it really brought her a lot of joy and a lot of peace. And when I got up to speak, I did share the fact that, you know, she really enjoyed her family and getting together with friends, and how she was always quick to serve and not be served. She showed a lot of patience with people, a lot of humility. And the Lord highlighted to me that, you know, even though she didn't hear about God and she wasn't involved in church and religion and things, you know, God does create a place for everyone, because God is in every single person in this world. Doesn't matter if you know God or don't know God, God still has a piece of himself in you, just that you need the knowledge to know that he's with you. Well, one thing about Anita was the fact that, you know, somebody had asked me a little while ago, how can we see God? And the best thing that I can answer is this: like, we can't see God in a physical form, because God doesn't have a physical form. He's a spirit. But the one way we can actually see God, and there's other ways to see him, but this is my primary one, is his attributes that are inside of every person. And what I mean by his attributes is that when you see somebody full of love, because God is love, you can see God. When you see somebody with patience, who's carrying peace, who's carrying joy, who has a lot of humility, who goes through life and you know, is non-judgmental. This woman that I was speaking about today was very non-judgmental. In fact, when the first time my wife brought me to meet the family, my wife had gone through a difficult relationship with her ex-husband, and by all means, they had a right to judge me based upon my wife's prior relationship. But instead of judgment, they embraced me when I came over for Thanksgiving, and they made me feel a part of their family. And when that happens, you can see God in people. I mean, when you notice someone who's carrying, like I said, the love, the peace, joy, humility, meekness, patience, non-judgmental, you're seeing the attributes of God. That's how we can tell God is real. You know, we hear the stories of the Bible, right? But if they're not pertinent or tangible in your life, then how do you know God exists? Well, God exists through each individual. Like, you can see when somebody is manifesting anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred, that's not God. That's actually fruits of the soul or fruits of the flesh. But when somebody manifests these other fruits that I was describing, they're manifesting God. You know, they're manifesting Christ, because God says, put on the image of Christ. And the image of Christ is actually these fruits of the Spirit. And that's how you can tell people that are in Christ and out of Christ. Because when somebody is in Christ, you're going to see those attributes manifest on a daily basis. That's how you can really, like the church calls it, witnessing. And people that witness, they think they have to go around telling everybody about God. But that's not the whole truth. The truth is, witnessing to somebody is by allowing God to manifest out of you on a daily basis. By just being yourself and just letting God come through you as far as love and peace and serving others and having patience through difficult situations and just helping other people with their burdens and things like that. That's how they're going to really see God in you, and they're going to know that God is real, because there's a lot of people out there that are skeptics, and they're looking for a sign. They're looking for something tangible to say, oh, I see God over there, and they think it's a physical form, but nobody's seen God in a physical form. I mean, even going back to the days of Moses perceived God as a burning bush, because that's how God appeared to him, but he really had no physical form, you know. But also Moses was shown God's attributes, because God said, I'm going to put you in a cleft of a rock and my glory is going to pass you by and you're going to see my attributes. And he said, as God passed by the rock, they said he was long-suffering, he was full of love. He saw the peace and the patience and the joy and the humility, and all those attributes passed by. You know, like when things happen in our life, a lot of times we don't recognize something till after the fact that it happens. And then we can say, oh my God, I see God in this. You know, like let's say somebody is sick, right? And they go through a long period of time of suffering, but then they come out of it and they're cured, and they say, oh my God, I can see God healed me through this and helped me get through this, you know, because they saw after the fact, they saw God's glory in it. And that's what it's all about. And today, there was people there saying that they really enjoyed what was spoken about her and about the fact that they could see God through her. You know, even though she didn't have religion and she didn't know God, like in the terms that a lot of Christians say they know God. And I believe, you know, God does prepare that place. He prepares a special place for every single person. You know, and we've talked about it in here on many occasions. In fact, you know, people ask about hell. You know, and hell is the furthest point away from God that you can get in the, not only in this realm, but in the eternal life as well. You know, imagine wanting to know God in an intimate way, and you want to know his love, and you reject it, and God doesn't know you, and you pass on to the next eternal life realm, and God says, be gone from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And you have all eternity to sit there and long for God, but you can't reach him. That's hell. It really is. It's like having a person that you love here on earth, and you're 15,000 miles away, and you never can reach that person to get with them and describe your love with each other. It's the same way in eternity, but it goes on and on and on and on. That's hell. But the reason I bring this up is because there's a lot of churches that believe that if you don't confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and accept Jesus as your Savior, and, you know, you don't confess that you know God, that you're going to be rejected for eternity. But if somebody is showing fruits of the Spirit and they're manifesting the fruits of the Spirit, how can you deny that God is not in that person? Because God says, I am with you whether you make your bed in hell or whether you make your bed in heaven, I am with you. And as we've been taught in here, heaven and hell is the condition of your heart. Because in your heart is where heaven is. Heaven is a place within you that brings joy, peace, and righteousness. That is the kingdom of God. That is heaven. Hell is when your heart is in torment and your heart is full of bitterness and anger, resentment, and you can't find a way to get out of that position in that realm. That's hell. That's really hell. It's tormenting. You know, and people are experiencing hell now on earth, and they're not even in an eternal realm yet, but they're in an eternal realm here in their heart. And it's our job as ministers in this congregation is to bring people and awaken them from that hell, from that eternal place, and bring them into an eternal life. Because eternal life, the way you can describe it is, imagine having a peace, a joy, and a righteousness, and having a love sense of life on a constant basis. I mean, that's what we all long for. That's why God created us. He said, I created to give you life, and life more abundantly. You know, that's why church here is so important. That's why church, if you're listening, it's so important to get together in fellowship so we can edify and build each other up, so that we can all come to that fullness of Christ that's within us, that God intended us since the beginning, the foundations of this world. You know, Pastor Jim gave a great message last week, and it was based upon, you know, spiritual death and coming into spiritual life. And he brought up the fact of why we're here. And I've heard many people speak about, you know, their thoughts and their opinions about why we're here on earth. And it's not about coming here just to start a family, try to build a life, try to work as hard as you can, try to retire and then die. You know, but why we're here is because our whole goal and our whole job, why we were created, is to give God glory in everything that we do, is to give him the praise and give him the glory. And he'll allow you to do things in your life through work, through friendships, through all kinds of events and things to bring him glory and to get people to notice that he is in you. You know, God needs minister. God needs people that he can use as vessels, that can shine his light, can shine his truth, because the darkness in this world is thick. It really is. I mean, if you really take a look and take two steps back in life, this is a very dark realm, this world. And if we get caught up in it with the thought processes and our heart gets troubled, it's very difficult to get out of it. But that's why we need one another who are strong and guided in God to lead the way to escape that, so that we can have an eternal life now, so that we can carry that life over into eternity. You know, we're always going to get mocked and judged by people in the world just because they're ignorant. You know, I feel bad when people judge just because they don't know what they're judging. It's based on their own condition of their own heart is when they judge. But I feel strong that, you know, if we just continue to show love and not judge them back, it could make a difference in them actually changing, you know, because they might see something different than what they're showing us, and it might cause them to turn around and be jealous and say, hey, you know what, I really want to be humble and meek and show compassion the way this person here is showing me, even though I'm judging them, it might cause them to change, you know? And going back to my story about today with my wife's grandmother, I said before, she had all the right to judge me when I first came and met her based upon her granddaughter's experience with her previous husband. And instead, she embraced me and made me a part of the family on the first day that I met her. And that just showed me right there that God was living inside of her. We had someone walk in here, and I just want to elaborate on what we were speaking about. People ask, how can we see God? You know, because God isn't relevant as far as seeing an image, or he's not a person. He's not like in a body form. But the greatest way of seeing God is through attributes that God has through people. And when people are able to manifest his attributes, which is his love, his patience, his long-suffering, his humility, patience, joy, peace, people are drawn to that. They're not drawn to me just talking about God and trying to describe God, but they're drawn to the fruits that manifest through us. Because I believe, like, in the natural, we all like to eat fruit. You know, we can go to a vine and pick that grape off, and you eat it, and it tastes really good. It's sweet. Well, it's the same thing when somebody manifests the fruits of the Spirit. Their spirit can eat of it, and their spirit notices that it is God. You know, because Jesus said, "If you see me, you see the Father." Well, that's relative for anyone that's manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. As you see that, you see God. And I just felt like tonight was a good time to share that because, you know, one thing when you're in Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to be judged. You're going to be ridiculed because of the ignorance, not from that person, but from their way of seeing. You know, God has a tendency sometimes to blind eyes and blind ears so they can't hear and see spiritually. So in that case, they have an ignorance. They just don't have an awareness or a knowledge, and they fall into judgment. And I feel as people of God, we just need to have a little bit more maturity to understand that, you know, for myself, I've been in their shoes. You know, I've been in that position where I grew up in religion and I had a lot of judgment. And I was kind of like the Apostle Paul where, you know, God had to smack me around a little bit and show me how stupid the judgment was. And I had to repent. And I think when you finally accept God's love and you accept his righteousness and you see how small you are in the whole scheme of things, it causes you to repent and you change the way you think. And I believe that's where you start to lose judgment in your life. You're able to say, you know what? I can identify with that person rather than trying to come against that person, you know? And I feel strongly tonight too, like that there's people that may be logging on that, you know, maybe you were hurt before from a church. I know talking to my wife's aunt, she grew up Catholic. She was in a marriage before she met her husband who she's with now. And when they wanted to get married, she was divorced. She went to the church and the church rejected them. And they ostracized them from the Catholic Church because she was previously married and said, "You can't marry this guy." But that's not what God intended. You know, where is the love in that? And it caused not her, but it caused the husband to say, "I don't want to be a part of church. I don't want to go to churches. I don't believe in it." Because it put an offense there. She still believes in God. She still seeks God. She still prays. She still believes that God loves her. So she wasn't as upset. She was upset more about that church than about God. I think he was more upset that God allowed that to happen. And that's why we really need to be mature, you know, and get past the judgments. You know, I don't care what anybody does or what anybody came from or what happened in your past, unless you want to get healing in that area. I'm not here to judge you. It's, you know, we go through things in life because God takes us to a place where we can actually come into humility and rely upon Him in truth, where we can just fully trust Him. That's why we go through things in life. You know, life isn't easy. Life is always going to be difficult, but through the difficulties is where we can really see God manifest in our life. If we're seeking God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, we can really see God be uplifted and see His glory. You know, because in our lives are reflective of Him. You know, we're supposed to be that beacon of hope for the people that are hopeless out there. And they're everybody's watching. It was spoken Sunday that there's like a, you know, the angels are longing to hear what we have to say. You know, and I believe that people are longing to see God through us because they're looking for hope and they're looking to keep that hope. If they have hope, they're looking to keep hope and allow it to manifest more. And there's a lot of people that are hopeless that are looking for hope. They're looking for an answer to their situation and their problems. And I believe the body of Christ is truly the answer. That's why God chose us and called us and set us apart so that we can be a light in that dark world so that people can grab a hold of it and they're not seeing us, but they're seeing God through the situation. I was saying earlier too about, you know, about the attributes in Moses when he was placed in the cleft of the rock. God said, I'm going to make my glory pass by you, but you're only going to see my back parts, my attributes. And when he walked by the cleft of the rock, Moses heard the angels that said, were saying, God is patience and love and long-suffering and holy and, you know, all these things. And it came after the fact that he went by. And I was saying earlier, like, things happen in our life that sometimes we don't see God until after the fact that it happens. And then there's such a praise and a glory that we give in our hearts to God because we saw God finally in the situation. And I believe there's people listening tonight that if you just have some patience and you wait and just keep your trust in God, you're going to see God's glory come about in your life. He's not withholding it from you. He's just waiting you to humble yourself and just to cry out to Him and say, God, help. You know, it was spoken 2 weeks ago. Pastor Kurt was up here, and the word of the day was, God, help me. You know, if people would just say, God, help me in their heart and truly mean it, God will embrace you. He will run to you. Like the prodigal son, when the prodigal son left his father, he took all of his inheritance and ran out, and he blew it. And eventually he was living in a muck of pigs and feeding on the ground, and it finally dawned on him. He's like, man, life was so much better when I was in my father's house. And he said, I'm going to go. I'm going to humble myself and go ask my father if I can just go and serve him. And as he was afar off, the father saw him and ran to him. He ran down the path and embraced him and kissed him on his cheek and put the ring back on his finger. And he said, my son has returned. My son has come home to me. And that's what he's saying to everybody tonight. Let's embrace him. We're not afar off. We can come to him. Just cry out, say, help me, God. And he will run to you. And he will embrace you. And he will get us out of our problems. He will get us out of the muck and mire and place the ring back on our finger. Because it's all to show us his glory. That's all it is. It's to reveal his glory. And all we were created for was to reveal God's glory and give him glory back and honor back to him. You know, we said it probably years ago that when we knew God, one third of the angels fell because we took glory away from God. And I truly believe that's why we're here. We were basically given a second chance to say, okay, I'm going to give you the free will now. You can pick and choose who you're going to serve. Are we going to serve ourselves because it feels good? Or are we going to serve God because in our hearts there's a conviction and there's a truth? And there's a way that God loves us so much that he glorifies us so we can glorify him. You know, he even said that to Jesus. Jesus cried out and said, God, glorify me so I can glorify you. And I believe all of us here are on the right path. You know, we all have a relationship with God. And the people that are listening, I believe you have a relationship with God because you're hearing our words that we speak every week. And the Father is listening to your heart. He doesn't listen to our mouths. He doesn't listen to anything else, but he listens to your heart. And all he asks you to do is just cry out to him, and he will come to you. You know, there's nothing like his presence. And the only way his presence comes through humility. There's no other way. I've seen a lot of people with pride, and they think they know God. Yet with the prideful heart, God rejects it. But he stands off to the sideline and waits for that person to then humble themselves. And when they humble themselves, he embraces them and his presence comes. So I just wanted to speak that tonight. And I thank you, everybody, for coming out. I ask that you tune in for Sunday. Sunday, our service starts at 10 o'clock. We have an awesome worship team who brings us in to the presence of God. If you can get here, there's nothing like just sitting in here and just letting everything from the day and from the week just fade away. And just open up your heart and let God just come in. And then we have an 11 o'clock service where there's a message that's given, and sometimes we even do ministering afterwards. And we're going to have another Wednesday night service in August, and it's going to be the second Wednesday starting at 7:30. And just stay tuned. We'll let you know the exact date. And just everybody be safe, and God bless.